Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Peter Greenberg, you're out of work, man. She's our new travel expert. How about that?
Hey, and I never played Mnookin, so I guess we're okay.
Peter Greenberg, host of Eye on Travel. You'll hear him after the Northwest Wildcats football game this Saturday. And there you'll be talking about, well, let's talk, first of all, a little bit about this call that we just took. Any observations about Mary's travel experience, Peter?
They match my own. I also wear a double mask. I also believe in the Harvard Medical School study about the air circulation on the planes. I think it's definitive. So I don't have a problem flying. What I have a problem with is once you land, is everybody going to behave themselves? Are they going to wear the masks? Are they going to practice social distancing? Are they going to avoid large crowds and gatherings? And right now what we're seeing all across the U.S. with all these spikes in cases is evidence that they may not be behaving, and we may be forced with more lockdowns in many, many states.
Mm. That business about Southwest not selling the middle seat, I mean, are the other airlines where you do have an assigned seat selling the middle seat?
Delta is not, and that'll exist until January 6th. Alaska Airlines is not. That'll exist till January 6th. United and American have always sold the middle seat. And let's get something straight about the middle seat. It's a great idea. Do you want to sit in the middle seat, or do you want to be stuck in a seat next to somebody in the middle seat? Of course not. But there's a reason why they have a middle seat on airplanes, to sell them. And the actual social distancing separation on an airplane is ridiculous. It doesn't exist. It's maybe 25 inches between you and the aisle seat and somebody else in the window seat. So it's a nice cosmetic thing, but it really has no impact.
What's this Harvard study? I had heard a study where they showed a plane full of people. Everybody had a mask on. Nobody got up, and the infection rate was low. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's one of the surveys they've done. There's one done by the Department of Defense, but the most recent one was by the Chan School of Public Health at Harvard, which they basically said it was a conditional response, because they said as long as people wear a mask, the circulation systems on the plane or the air do a great job, and your risk of infection is really low.
But in those models, they also had people facing forward and really behaving beyond wearing a mask. They weren't walking up and down the aisle chatting by the beverage station halfway through the airplane, stuff like that, right?
Exactly. But then again, nobody's doing that now anyway. The fact that she didn't use the bathroom on her flight, before the pandemic, I would never use the bathroom on a plane. So we're in good shape.
Are you don't use the bathroom on the airplane because you're afraid you'll get sucked out and thrown into the midair?
No, that's the toilet. No, the bottom line is, they on certain Asian airlines, they get a Herculean effort to clean the bathroom after every passenger uses it. But that doesn't happen on U.S. carriers. And you know what? If you time it right, unless you're on a 17-hour flight, go to the bathroom at the airport before you get on the plane.
Okay, but you sound like you had this thing about the bathroom on the airplane before COVID.
Well, I did. First of all, the new airplanes, the bathrooms are so small, you have to leave the bathroom to change your mind. I mean, by the way, that's an old Henny Youngman joke.
I think I've heard that before. But sometimes you got to go. I mean, you're not saying that you felt it was unsafe, right?
No, it was never unsafe.
Unpleasant,
Didn't think it was necessary. Yeah.
Right. Well, but maybe it's not. Maybe it is. Frank just had a question or comment about you talking about airplane travel. Frank, you're on WGN. Where did you recently travel to or from?
Yeah, I called in. I just got back from Istanbul. And the flights we flew into, we flew from Chicago to Newark, or to JFK to Istanbul. The flight on Turkish Air was fantastic. Everybody was masked up. They were very, very disciplined on, hey, you have to have a mask. And I had a gator walking on the plane, and they said, no, you can't wear that. You have to wear a mask. So they cleaned the bathroom after every time someone went. I didn't have an aisle seat. They had the air going full blast. All the stewards, flight attendants, had masks on. Everybody on the plane had masks on. I felt very safe. The airports were pretty much a ghost town. I mean, Mr. Greenberg, I'm sure you know that new airport in Istanbul, which is absolutely gigantic, that was pretty much empty. But overall, I have no concerns at all about flying. Zero.
Well, I didn't know you were going to call today, but I will tell you, I just got back on Turkish Airlines and had no problem whatsoever. Just like you. Yeah. I had the exact same experience.
Guys, what was the capacity on the plane? Frank, how many people were on your flight?
I was on a 777, so I don't know how many that holds. It holds a lot. It was probably two-thirds full.
Wow.
And my flight was full.
Really?
Yeah.
To Istanbul. Were you going for pleasure, Frank?
Yeah, it was, and I would recommend Istanbul as one of the great cities in the world to go visit. People are fantastic. Food is great. The scenery is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't say enough about Istanbul. I would go back in a second.
We were going to be in Istanbul this fall in October, but the trip got canceled, and we're planning on going back. It's a great city. We've been there a couple times. Yeah,
I was going to be in Istanbul over the summer, too.
The Club Istanbul here on WGN Radio. Elif's family's from there, and I just love it as a travel destination for all the reasons you went there, Frank. By the way, Frank, then where's the cost of the ticket or being a tourist in a city less now because of COVID?
I can't say for sure because I haven't done it before, but everything was very cheap. The hotels were really nice hotels, right on the Bosphorus. We were right up by the Blue Mosque, $100 a night. How do you beat that?
Yeah.
And the food was fantastic. We had a meal for four with two bottles of wine, lots of food, $120. I mean, how do you beat that? It was like, are you sure you did this right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Greenberg, maybe you know, but they wouldn't take tips over there. I tried tipping a cab driver, and he looked like I was insane. He wouldn't even touch the money.
It's a different culture. We used to see that a lot in Japan, in Australia. It was all bastardized by us.
Yeah, we've ruined
the bottom
it for
line
everybody.
Is, you got it.
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call, Frank. I'm glad you joined us. I'm glad you traveled safely.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day. Peter, stay right there. More questions and comments for Peter Greenberg. Peter, all of our phone lines are ringing for Peter Greenberg. You'll hear his Eye on Travel Saturday afternoon on WGN. Can we take a couple calls with you, Mr. Greenberg?
I think we can.
Okay. Judy, why don't you go first? You're on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just wanted to say my daughter just spent 5 weeks in Mexico, starting at San Miguel de Allende and traveling from there. And she said she can't believe the things they do in Mexico compared to here. They have checkpoints where they ask you where you're going. They take your temperature. They spray your hands. So that happened all over. She felt so safe. And then when she came back to, she lives in Oregon, so she had to take 3 flights. No one took a temperature. Some at one airport, they asked her, had she been to China? And she said she couldn't believe the difference between what we could be doing here and what they're doing there for safety.
How about that? Peter, what's your thought about that?
Well, she brings up an interesting point. You know, we just did my television show down in Los Cabos in Mexico and had the exact same experience that she did. They're very well behaved down there. They take it seriously. The hotels are only operating at about 35% capacity. And that includes the resorts. You know what? When people behave well, it makes a difference. And you know what? I'm going back to Mexico in about 3 weeks to do another show. And my team is going back because they feel safe.
Hmm. Interesting call. Judy, I'm glad for you and your daughter. Paula, you're on WGN with Peter Greenberg. Hi, Paula.
Hi, John. King John, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I have a question for Peter. We recently stayed in Mexico, another question about Mexico, for 8 days. And before our last day and night, the hotel asked us to leave because of Hurricane Gamma. And we've been trying in vain to get a refund for that last night because they told us to go evacuate.
This gets into an area called force majeure and an act of God. Did you buy trip cancellation insurance or trip interruption insurance?
No, we did not.
Well, that's why you buy the insurance. and by the way, when you do this kind of insurance, you have to do it before a hurricane is actually named. It's like you can't buy fire insurance after the second floor explodes. So the bottom line is you're dealing with one night. At the very least, what they might want to offer you is a credit against a future stay, but I don't think very much you're going to get it back. Did you pay with a credit card?
We did not.
Oh, boy, we got a triple negative going here. yeah, right now, I think what you should do is take your room reservation, go to an art supply store, and frame it.
I've heard all that answer before. I don't blame you for asking, Paula, but without a credit card and without insurance, do you recommend, say, after the turn of the year, Peter, people who are tentatively making plans, well, they're making plans, but they don't know what's going to happen, that everybody, nobody should travel without some sort of trip interruption insurance?
Well, here's the key, and this is something that I talk about on my show all the time because it's such a big negative touch point. So many people listening to your show and who listen to my show, with the best of intentions, did go out and buy insurance before the pandemic, only to discover it was worthless because the insurance company said they didn't cover for pandemic, which you could find, of course, conveniently on page 95 of their website, which nobody ever got to. So what's happening now, and this is a good thing, necessity being the mother of invention, a number of insurance companies are developing a new product that actually does cover you for this. Now, the premium may be a little more expensive, but at least you're buying something that has value. So if you're going to buy the insurance, lesson number one, never buy it from the travel provider themselves, which means if you're going online to make an airline reservation, they won't let you get off the reservation until you opt in or opt out of the insurance. Opt out. And then buy it from a third party like a travel agent. But don't buy it from the travel provider themselves. And number two, before you actually buy it from anybody, have them walk you through what's covered, what's excluded, including pre-existing conditions.
And what about if a trip does get canceled? Will I know if I get my money back or will I know if I get a credit, a voucher for another trip, right?
Right. That gets into the difference between an airline rule and a hotel rule. With an airline, the DOT rule says if the airline cancels the trip, you're entitled to a full refund, even if you paid for a non-refundable ticket. If you cancel the flight, now you're in voucher land. And with the hotels, it's a gray area. There's no rule yet that governs what hotels will or won't do.
Ron, you're on WGN with Peter Greenberg. What can we do for you, Ron?
Well, I've got a cruise schedule on Oceania for Dubai at the end of February and March. What do you think about cruising at that time and on those smaller ships?
That part of the world, yeah.
Sure. Well, first of all, your timing is probably going to be okay. Cruise lines are not going to resume sailing before the middle of February. Some might start maybe early February, but most not till middle of February. But in that part of the world, they're not governed by the CDC rules. So your ship has a very good chance of sailing. But again, find out what the fine print says about you getting a refund versus a voucher in case the cruise line has to cancel.
I'm more interested in what if I decide to cancel. Like they say, we're still sailing and now I've got cold feet.
Well, what the cruise lines have started to do, many of them have done it in the U.S., they're giving you a 72-hour sort of like right of refusal where up to 72 hours prior to the sailing, you can cancel. That doesn't get your money back. It gets you a credit without any penalty. That's a first step. But where we need to go in the travel industry is a six-letter word called escrow. We need to be able to put money with confidence in an escrow account that doesn't get released to the cruise line, the airline, the tour operator until you actually show up. And then if it doesn't happen, you get your money back. We need to get to that point because too many people are still waiting for refunds that they're never going to see.
Ron, good luck. And Ramiro, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hey, good morning. I'm actually a medical doctor. And it's quite upsetting that, you know, when doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists are risking their lives to save patients that are sick with COVID, that we are even just eliciting the talk of returning to any type of normality with travel. Travel is one of the most dangerous things you can do right now. As a medical doctor, to hear that one lady's going to Mexico and you guys are comparing Mexico being doing a much better job with this virus is ludicrous. It's not sane. Okay? We have to, as a country, have some type of moral compass and say, you know what? The most valuable asset in life is time. No one's taken Mexico away. No one's taken Spain away, Dubai away. We have to sit tight and wait for us doctors to figure out what's going on with this virus. And it's completely disheartening to hear about people traveling and getting on an airplane. Do you guys know that airlines have lost $20 billion in monetary gain? Meaning, when I flew in October to Florida to go help people dying of the virus, I was on an airplane that was completely full. And in that full airplane, children weren't wearing masks.
When was that, Romero?
This was in October.
Of this year?
I went in June. I'm an anesthesiologist.
Stupid question, yeah.
So I flew on American Airlines, and it was a complete joke. When I asked the stewardess, what is the issue with passing out water and peanuts on an airplane when you are told to wear a mask? When they say, oh, they have the great filtration system, that's ludicrous. You are spreading the virus to hundreds of people.
Hold on,
and I will never fly American Airlines again.
Hold on, Romero. Listen, I'm glad you called, and we hear you loud and clear. I want to let Peter Greenberg respond. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, I hear him loud and clear, except we're talking about two separate things. We're talking about travel, and we're talking about traveler behavior. Two separate and distinct things. You would be the first one to agree, sir, that the CDC chief said if we would just wear a mask, it would have a huge effect on minimizing the risk. We got to get to that point first. When I travel, I wear a double mask. I'm not going anywhere where there are large social gatherings. I'm not hanging out at the pool. I'm not in the gym. I'm not going to bars. I'm eating outside. So in that respect, I'm minimizing my risk, whether I'm in Cleveland or Calcutta. What we need to do is get to leadership positions in this country and around the world where we have a unilateral system of rules and regulations that protect us from each other.
Oh, that we had it from the top on down. Oh, that we had that at the beginning of this thing. Peter, thank you for your time. And I'll let Dr. Romero, your last thoughts about this. I got 30 seconds.
Well, my thoughts is, and there's no correct answer for any of this. You know, I'm considered the Debbie Downer of the family. But the reality is, why we have to ask ourselves as a country, why is it that North Dakota and South Dakota are now exploding, right? It's because those people, those citizens, decided, hey, we're safe in these rural areas. Let me go to Texas. Let me go to Florida for a little beach vacation and come back. Travel is the essential carrier of the virus. If I go to Mexico and I grab a strain of the virus there because I want to go have a piña colada at the pool and I come back to Chicago, I have the moral responsibility not to do that because I am bringing back possibly the virus that can affect an 80-year-old.
I'm glad you called, Doctor. Fascinating take on this.
I hope everyone stays safe.
You bet. I appreciate you joining us. And that's okay. Two different perspectives here. Peter Greenberg, we will listen for you on Saturday after Northwestern Wildcat football. Thanks for joining us again.
Anytime.